If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're listening to 2A Radio right here on RBN. Thank you very much to RJ Hinder, previous host on the last show. Thank you for sending your audience off to us right here on 2A Radio. Guys, on 2A Radio, and I'm going to explain this because we have a lot of new listeners that are coming in all the time. 2A Radio stands all for Second Amendment Radio. 2A, Second Amendment. 2aradio.com. is the website. It's not two-way radio. It's 2A, it's in Second Amendment Radio.com. And my email address to send me comments about the show or anything else is bill@2aradio.com. Now, if you're going to send me a personal message directed to me directly from you, that's great. Any forwards you feel like sending, do me a favor, send them to somebody else because I get them from several other email addresses all the time. Please do not send me forwards. Please do not put Bill at 2A Radio on a whole list of different people you're emailing stuff to, because then all I get is a whole bunch of garbage that people end up sending to me along down the line. And it is a mess. I have a lot of email that I have to go through, and that just makes it that much worse. So, Bill at 2A Radio, if you want to have a personal communication back and forth, that's great. What do we talk about here on the show? We talk about guns, gear, we talk about the right to carry, we talk about open carry, concealed carry, we talk about open carry movements, we talk about where politicians want to curb our open carry rights, where they want to curb our concealed carry rights, and also in areas of the country where they want to expand those rights and make it much more less restrictive. Much more less, that sounds weird, and make it much less restrictive to carry your guns for personal protection. Guys, in the economy of today, police departments, sheriff's departments are laying off people left and right because they can't afford to pay them. The money's just not there. Revenues, tax revenues, all kinds of revenues are down. So that means two things. There are less cops on the street, and it's driven more people into crime. Who are you going to call? It's not Ghostbusters, guys. It's going to be Mr. Glock. It's going to be Mr. Browning when you pull your 1911. Whoever it is, it's going to be the manufacturer of the gun that you're carrying. We also talk about sporting uses of guns, but mainly it's a defensive-natured show where we go into different news articles. There's commentary. There's certainly my opinion. And then there's call-in. If at any time you feel as though you would like to call into the show, the number here is 800-313-9443. And a lot of people listen to the archives. The archives are available on the website, 2aradio.com. And then you can go on there, you can listen to the archives. The archives are commercial free. It gets right down to the nitty gritty. And they're always up within about a half an hour, maybe even 20 minutes, of the show being completed for the day. So I just wanted to give you all of that background. So coming up, and the rest of the show, you're going to get news, commentary, certainly my opinion on some of the things going on around the country at state and federal levels, and really see what's going on out there. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're listening to me right here on 2A Radio. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443. And welcome back from the break, everyone. I have to tell you some very good news. There were primaries held in four different states yesterday: Arkansas, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, and Oregon. And in Pennsylvania, five-term Senator Benedict Arlen Specter, who ditched the Republican Party just last year to try to save his floundering career, ended up being sent into retirement anyhow, as he lost in the Democratic primary to Joe Sestak. He's a representative from a Democrat representative from Pennsylvania. So we'll have to see in the general election if we still end up having representation by a Democrat there or a Republican. Keep in mind, Benedict Arlen was a Republican, was voted for five times out of that area. So chances are that'll go back to a Republican seat, if not a Tea Party seat, which is another interesting little story. We have, out of Kentucky, a fellow by the name of Rand Paul, who is a big Tea Party candidate, absolutely smacked around the Republican candidate, who was not Tea Party backed, in Kentucky. Even though that Rand Paul was endorsed by the Republican establishment, really. Former Vice President Dick Cheney endorsed him. The Senate Minority Leader endorsed him. And it didn't go very well. Rand Paul, who defeated Republican establishment candidate Trey Grayson yesterday in yesterday's GOP Senate primary in Kentucky, warned Washington, quote, "Watch out, here we come." That's what I'm talking about, baby. After giving the anti-big government movement its most significant political victory yet, Rand Paul said that the Tea Party movement has a message loud and clear. He says, "We have come to take our country back," he said in a victory speech, drawing thunderous applause from his supporters. "It's just a tremendous mandate for the Tea Party," he said. "I cannot be overstated that people want something new. They don't want the same old politicians, and I think that the system is broken and needs new blood." Now, Paul was leading late Tuesday with 59% of the vote to Grayson, his 35%, and that was with nearly all precincts reporting. Folks, that is anything over 10% is considered a landslide. Anything over 10%. And what we're talking about here, 35% to 59%, we'll round that up to 60. We're talking a 25% landslide, not just 10. That is incredible. Now, Secretary of State Grayson conceded the race, telling his supporters to put all differences aside and unite behind Paul. Wow, that's gracious, duh. So we have just a great Tea Party related victory going on in Kentucky. Calling to chime in on this, calling from the great state of Georgia, we have Marcus on the line. Marcus, welcome back to 2A Radio.
God bless you, brother. I'm glad that you're feeling better after the other day.
You know what it was? My back was so sore. I don't know how I slept or what it was, but my low back got so sore I couldn't even get my butt out of bed for about 30 minutes yesterday, which is why I missed yesterday's show. However, it's interesting, I ended up calling in on the next show for the control factor.
Yeah, them two doctors are pretty cool dudes, I'll tell you.
Great guys, yeah. I enjoy them so much.
I still don't want a copy of their... You can tell them this. I still don't want a picture of them, though. If they got faces for radio, I definitely don't want pictures of them.
Well, you know what? I'm pretty. I'm on TV. What's happening, Marcus?
Well, not much. I was a Ron Paul supporter, and I'm really glad to hear that Rand... it's actually, they call it a Rand slide, not a landslide.
You're absolutely right.
But I'm glad to know that he did. He won so well. Now, one thing I was going to ask you, though, that's only when you're talking about the Tea Party. The Tea Party, I'm under the impression, came out of the Ron Paul movement, which I know was a sort of affiliated with the Republican Party. And you and I, both being gun nuts and Second Amendment supporters, because without our Second Amendment, we have none of the rest of them. And that's what everybody needs to understand. Without number two, you cannot have number one. And, you know, that's that freedom of speech and political speech. Because number two keeps the politicians honest because they know they can't attack you. Is that pretty much your feeling, sir?
Yeah. I get you. Actually, first of all, I want to correct you on one thing. The term gun nut doesn't really fit.
Well, I'm saying that's what they call
it. No. Let me just, you'll enjoy where this goes.
Okay.
Gun nut is kind of an anti-gun sort of a thing, or people who just don't understand it. I am a firearms aficionado.
Amen, brother. I'm a Foxtrot Alpha also.
There you go. So what
I was going to ask is, did you know about the NRA convention that was this weekend?
I could care less.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. I heard a report. I'm a life member who just receives only the magazine. I told them never to send me more solicitations anymore.
I've done the same.
And I want to say something. I hope it irritates my fellow NRA members who are also life members or benevolent or whatever you want to call it. They need to understand is they said there were over 10,000 people chanting for Glenn Beck and all the other stuff going on there at the convention. People, you've got to understand that the NRA's charter is not protect the Second Amendment. If you go back and look why they were formed, it was soldiers, mostly officers from the Union Army, that realized they got their butts kicked, and they wanted to produce shooters so they would serve the government. This is go back to 1871 and look at the charter. To serve the government, basically so the government can protect itself against the people.
Well, and that's exactly what the Civil War was all about. I mean, you had the South revolt and say, we don't like this, so we're going to secede. And that's where the government said, oh, no, you're not. So,
right.
And that was constitutionally protected right of the South to actually say, you know, we don't want to be part of this anymore. So you're right.
Exactly.
That was really the second American Revolution.
Right. And that's why the thing that I was going to say is for all of us who we enjoy our firearms for, you know, the thing is, though, it's like, I know you probably like fast cars, too. Or you like, have you ever drag raced any?
Actually, no, I'm more of a stock car fan.
But you understand, but you like racing.
Oh, yeah, and I've certainly driven a few fast cars.
Exactly. And that's another thing about with a firearm. It's to be able to control power. And, you know, and to be able to put yourself out there and do things like rock climbing and hiking and canoeing down rapids, you know, in a kayak. It's things about being a human and experiencing life. And what gets me is so many people, though, just choose to be the sheep. And, you know, I'm thank God that they threw Specter out because they realized he's one of those jerks that, and I apologize if I offend anybody, but the man was a jerk. I mean, all he cared about was himself.
Oh,
and most
without
politicians, that's all they care about.
Without a doubt. And you know, I got to tell you, if Rand Paul if he is cut from the same cloth as his father, and keep in mind that Ron Paul actually ran for president on the Libertarian ticket.
The first time.
So, I mean, as he is a Republican, that is as I see, a mechanism to get into office, because third party candidates just don't make it in, with the exception of maybe a couple of independents here and there who have been the part of a party before. I mean, look at Joe Lieberman. He was part of the Democratic Party forever. Everybody knows him. He could run as whatever he wanted to, as long as he serves the people that he represents properly. They're going to keep putting him in regardless of what letters next to him. Ron Paul, on the other hand, trying to get as a president, we're not going to elect a Libertarian president. We're just not. As a matter of fact, if you have the opportunity, Marcus, and anybody else listening out there, to go back, go to DaveChampionShow.com and go back and listen to the archives of May 4th, 2009, just a little over a year ago, you'll hear my ideas, along with a couple of call-in guests that I had, dealing with getting all of this small conservative groups together into one so that we can actually have a legitimate third party, which would essentially take over the GOP and let it die off like the scab that it's really become, and get some legitimate conservative people in order. And effectively, just Tea Party endorsements have done that at this point in time, just a year later.
Right. But, you know, the biggest problem I have with, say, here in Georgia, we had a man running for state office for governor who's a multimillionaire, could pay for his own campaign, run as Republican. And the Republican Party would not accept him because he would not sign the loyalty pledge. Now, my question is, I don't care what party you're in. Why should you sign a loyalty pledge to the party when you're supposed to be a servant of the people?
Yeah, absolutely. The only way that I could see this as a little bit of difference is if the pledge is something like to ensure that you uphold and protect the Constitution, that you...
Oh, no, that's not what it was, sir.
Well, and I understand that. I'm just saying, for instance, if it was something along the lines of to represent the wishes of your constituents, not that believe that the constituents like your ideas, so go vote however you feel like it. If it was something along that line, I could see it. But that's not what the Republican Party has.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, but here in Georgia, it's you will do what the governor basically says. And Senator Chip Rogers, who I shamefully hold my head, saying that when he was a representative, I helped get the man elected. And then when he ran for Senate, I helped him again. And then I realized after his first term as a senator, the man was a turncoat, and it shames me now that he's the senior floor leader with the governor we have in this state. And we would love to have a governor here in Georgia that's like the one in Arizona, that's got enough nerve at least to stand up to federal government and say, well, you want to enforce laws, I'm going to sign a law that's saying the same thing as yours.
Marcus, hold on. We're going to break, dude. Stay online. We'll be back after the break.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We still have Marcus on the lawn. Marcus, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, carry on.
Well, based along the short of it is, it's like I'm also a life member of the VFW, and the VFW just stood up with this attorney general we have who's claiming to be a Vietnam vet.
Oh, my God. Wasn't that horrible?
And the man never left the country. Say again?
Wasn't that horrible? The guy says he was a Marine. When he came back from Vietnam, he was spit on too. And I go, well, you didn't go to Vietnam. Oh, well, I mean, when I was back after Vietnam, yeah.
And it's something, sir.
Oh, my
I mean,
goodness.
It's like, do people have no shame? I mean, I'm a storm veteran, and, you know, I spend most of my time aboard a ship. And we launched aircraft in, you know, a combat aircraft, and it was dangerous because of everything that went on. And my greatest claim to fame over there, only thing that I can prove, is I got a Navy Achievement Medal for saving a man's life.
Nice. Good for you.
Well, that's not the point. I mean, my point is that, see, I can prove that because I've got an award that says so. You know, and it's listed on my DD-214. I mean, I found the only group out here that I've dealt with that has any sense of honor are the Vietnam Veterans of America, because the reason why I became a commander at a VFW post was because the commander at the time, come to find out, he had lied on his application, and we proved that he wasn't actually a veteran of a foreign war, and that's how I became the commander.
You know, you're right when you ask the question is, doesn't anybody have any shame? And the answer is no. I have to tell you, very, very, very few people that I have met in the last several years since this whole thing started going off in Afghanistan and Iraq, I was in the military. Everybody's some sort of a trigger pulling special forces paratrooper. I haven't met a single cook, a single truck driver, or anything that comes. Now, I know those guys are there. I shouldn't say that. I have met a few people that say, yeah, I'm a non-combat guy. I know a guy who's a lieutenant colonel who is in the Army that, you know, does an excellent job in intel. He doesn't say that he's out there some sort of monster trigger puller, but a lot of people are just full of garbage. There's a guy that I worked with for a short period of time who was in the Marine Corps and was a mechanic, yet he comes out and says, oh, yeah, I was a Marine Corps Scout Sniper, although he cannot cite the Marine Corps Scout Sniper code. I was in this place and that place and the other place. And, oh, well, okay, well, when did you go in? When did you get out? When did you go to Scout Sniper School? I know people at Scout Sniper School. Oh, yeah, this guy's never been through the program. And the guy was a mechanic, but he can't get away from, oh, yeah, I killed 47 people with a knife and, you know, the tank slipped a track and all I had was a paper clip and a Zippo to weld her back together. You know, you just can't get away from the stories from this guy. And these kind of turkeys just drive me nuts, just as the same as this attorney general guy you're talking about.
Amen, brother. I mean, my thing is, if you serve on active duty and you were put in harm's way, you know, more power to you, and I'm proud of you. I mean, I was put in harm's way to a certain point, and, you know, but I brought all my boys back, and my seniors, you know, brought me back because they made good, sound judgment. And that's all about being part of your service, you know, willing to do what you got to do, train to the best you could train. And if you're ordered in to do something, then go do it. But my thing is, you know, it's like I said about just saving this guy's life. I didn't say it to brag, but it's to make the point. That's all I can prove.
Right.
You know, and that's what it boils down to. I mean, the guys I know that really have trigger time, I got a son-in-law that's got combat time, and he's current active duty now. And he only talks to me because he knows I experienced some things. But, you know, if it wasn't for faith in our God the Father and his love of Jesus, you know, the boy would have been gone nuts. He'd have been that one in post-traumatic stress, freaked out, probably, you know, divorced my child and everything else type thing.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the stress of what you go through in combat, a real veteran that's had to go through that, if he's out there bragging about it, the guy's a DS artist. And I mean, and I'm talking about bovine scat, you know?
Absolutely. You know, Marcus, thanks very much. God bless you.
God
thanks
bless
for
you,
your
my
call.
Brother. I appreciate you.
I appreciate it. Take care, and thanks for listening.
Yes, sir. No problem. Proud of you, sir.
Thank you. All right, guys. Bye-bye. More about this election here. Evidently, the role of the chief endorser by Barack Obama isn't working very well, as Benedict Arlen Specter, one of the guys that Obama and Whorehouse Harry Reid got it to convert from Republican to Democrat. That was official. I mean, he'd already been voting that way, just to try to keep the filibuster from happening in the Senate. He went down along with, he was now the fourth Democrat in 7 months to lose high-profile races despite Obama's active involvement, raising doubts that Obama's really has much of an ability to help fellow Democrats come up in this November's election. Here's the thing. I think the tighter they try to hold this grip in Washington, D.C. for the Democrats, the more elections are going to slip through their fingers. And I believe we've got 33 senators running for re-election this year. And I believe that we're going to take back at least 10 of those that are Democrats, and it's going to go back to a very strong Republican-filled Senate. Stay tuned. More after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The two-way radio show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, welcome back. Yes, let's see. Last Friday, Sarah Palin spoke at the NRA's annual gathering. This is their 139th. And it's going on in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's joined by other celebrities, Ted Nugent and Glenn Beck. All good people. All very good people. The NRA is by far the largest pro-gun organization in the country. I mean, without a doubt. They have about 4 million members. back in the 60s, when the country had twice as many people in it, or more, they had 5 million members. So they're not really doing their job that well. I am not a political backer of the NRA because they compromise. Not a big compromising kind of fan at all, as you can probably tell for those of you who have been listening to this show for any amount of time at all. I'm not a compromising kind of guy. Just not. So, I like to see the right thing done. I like to see the right thing done without delay. And I like to see the right thing done and explain to the people who believe without any information, ignorantly, that that is not the right way, why it is the right way. Give them the pros and cons of both sides. Let them come up with their own decision. If they still decide that my right way isn't their right way, well, that's fine. At least now they're no longer ignorant. We spoke last week about the ignorance of anti-gunners. Most people who are anti-gun know absolutely nothing about guns. No experience with guns. And you can ask them. I have people say, oh, no, I don't like guns at all. Really? Do you own a gun? Oh, no, 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 no. Have you ever owned a gun? Oh, my God, no. Or when I got married, my spouse had a gun, but I made them get rid of it. Well, why? Have you ever fired a gun? Well, actually, yes, I went out and like a couple of shots and the thing jumped and it scared me and I oh my God, I just had nothing to do with it. Okay, well, that's the same effect of getting into a car, starting it, putting it in gear, and the first time you touch the gas, you go too far down and it lurches forward. So you stomp on the brake and you clunk your head on the windshield, put it in park and get out. Oh my God, no, I hated cars. No. I drove. But that was the experience of driving. So, when I speak to someone, when I meet someone who happens to be anti-gun, and they tell me that they're, oh, well, you know, all the violence that you see in the news and in the papers and all the other blah, da, 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 da. Well, that's why you're anti-gun? It sounds to me like you're anti-violence. Is what it is. Aren't we all? Wouldn't we all love to go without some sort of violent criminal element in our society? You know, I mean, it would put a lot of cops out of business if there was no violence in the criminal element of today. So I'm anti-gun because people use guns improperly. Okay, so then you're anti the violent nature of the use of a tool. In this case, if you put a gun in somebody's hand. So what it is it's ignorance. They don't know anything about guns, haven't trained with guns, haven't learned about guns, have no practical, if any, actual literal shooting with a gun, certainly not out of the hands of a professional. Now, if you go to a shooting range or out into the desert somewhere, out into the hills, with some soda cans and somebody who owns some guns, all right, well, you know, let's set it up right here and you can shoot just, yeah, bam, there we go right there. That is not learning to shoot. That is an experience of shooting. You're not learning under the eyes of a professional. Totally different. It's like calling up your friend and saying, oh my gosh, something happened with this person at work and I need help. I need somebody to talk to. You're talking to a friend. You're not talking to a professional that might be able to help you with whatever psychotic moment you're going through at the time. You're going to get a couple of different answers. You're looking for shouldered crying, or you're looking for some real live, honest God advice. And if you go to a professional, you're probably going to get a little bit better advice. Same thing when it comes to learning about guns. I am not a huge fan of people going out and quote unquote learning how to shoot from somebody in their life that has no practical experience as a professional teaching people to shoot. Shooting's like anything else. You know, it takes more than what you believe it really takes. Oh, yeah, just point it out there and press the trigger. Wow. Really? It was that easy, anybody and everybody could do it. It was that easy, everybody could be a world champion and some discipline or another when it comes to shooting. Just point it out there and shoot. Just squeeze the trigger. Yeah, squeezing the trigger. Another horrible definition when it comes to shooting. With all of this in mind, and with the politics behind it, I have to tell you that I have been working very, very diligently on putting together what is going to be, provided this thing really gets pulled off, and so far things are looking really good, and what is going to be the largest shooting event that America has seen in modern history. yours truly is trying to put this thing together. It would be a very large, obviously pro-gun, obviously something politically related, get down on it, two-day handgun shoot that everybody in America is going to hear about. More to come. So stick that under your hat, hold on to it a little bit, and RBN is behind it. I have some national pro-gun organizations behind it. We've even got some media behind it. Keeping it on the QT, waiting for the right moment. We're garnishing more and more of the pro-gun organizations that are out there. And just in case you happen to be interested, I'm not even inviting the NRA. Not even inviting them. The NRA would want to stand up and say, oh yeah, we're behind this event. This is our event. Matter of fact, if we're going to be involved, we want to run it. And we want to do it our way. With the Eddie Eagle showing up and make this some sort of a dog and pony show. Not even inviting the NRA. They can read about it in Guns and Ammo after it's done. So, working on a big, just media known, big two-day handgun shoot. And when I'm able to actually break the news to you, you're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about it from a lot of sources around the country. Just stick that macaroni in your hat, or feather in your cap, and call it macaroni. All right? Just hold on to that information. Now, let's talk just a little bit about the filthy scumbag a-hole in New York. The biggest, filthiest, nastiest bonehead in New York. That would be Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Now, he is coming across with this this idea that he's going to be doing some sort of relaxation of gun regulations to make them more streamlined in the city. And it's just basically a lot of flash and little substance, as was the description of the Second Amendment Foundation out of Bellevue, Washington. That would be Alan Gottlieb. He says, it's clear to us, said SAF Executive Vice President Alan Gottlieb, that Mayor Bloomberg is trying to make it appear his gun regulations are more user-friendly to deflect a potential lawsuit once the Supreme Court rules on our legal action to overturn the handgun ban in Chicago, which would be McDonald v. Chicago. This tells us that Bloomberg and his legal advisors are convinced the high court will hand down favorable ruling in the McDonald case, striking down Chicago's ban and incorporating the Second Amendment to the states via the 14th Amendment. Under Bloomberg's program, licensing requirements will be allegedly streamlined, renewal fees will go down, and the application process will be speedier. Now, renewal fees. Let's talk about that for a second. You have a constitutionally protected, unalienable, God-given right to protect yourself and the right to keep and bear arms. If you, at any level whatsoever, anywhere in this country, be it at the township, municipal, county, or state level, are required to pay a fee and get some sort of a license just to purchase or possess a gun, that is a violation of the mere term rights. So, file a suit. File a suit. He says, Gottlieb continues, he says, this sounds good on the surface, but a little digging reveals that this is only one handgun licensing office that's in the entire city in Manhattan. There's only one office for registering and licensing rifles and shotguns in the entire city, and that office is in Queens. The handgun application fee is $340, and there's a $94.25 fingerprint fee on top of that. So you can expect to pay as a fee to own a handgun over $425. $435. He says this fee structure screams for elites only, because those fees are outrageously expensive for average citizens. Adding insult to injury, Gottlieb continues, this is only to keep a handgun in your home or business. To get a carry permit, you still have to prove a need. And Mayor Bloomberg is not the bill of needs. It's the bill of rights. The people in California should listen quite heavily to that. Even Paul Helmke, president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Handgun Violence, steal your guns and leave you completely defenseless against violent criminals, I believe that's her official name, told the New York Times that Bloomberg is relaxing the rules because the current regulations will not be defendable under an affirming ruling of the McDonald case, Gottlieb noted. Wow, admitting defeat already. Mayor Bloomberg is right to think he needs to relax gun regulations in New York City, said Gottlieb. He is also right to think that SAF, Second Amendment Foundation, just might come knocking with a lawsuit after our case against Chicago is decided. But he's wrong to think these sham rules are going to mollify gun owners, or fool us into giving him a pass. So, yet again, we have an anti-gun politician doing their very, very best to try to circumvent the pro-gun movement and the pro-gun rulings coming out of courts and still keep a tight hold on anti-gun regulations, however they can. John Schneider happens to be a gun rights expert, and he says it's time for Congress to close a loophole, a real loophole, a big loophole. Okay. Schneider says Congress should close the loophole in your right to protect yourself from terrorists, in your right to protect yourself from criminals, and in your right to protect life itself. Really? Former NRA editor Snyder is public affairs director for the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms and the treasurer for the Second Amendment Foundation. Gun-grabbing nutcases scream about a phony gun show loophole, he says, but the real loophole is in your right as a law-abiding citizen to carry your handgun, to carry your handgun anywhere in the United States, to carry your handgun throughout the country, to be able to protect yourself from terrorists and other criminals, to be able to protect relatives, friends, and associates should the need arise. Well, hear ye. Snyder notes, the vast majority of states allow citizens with state-issued CCW permits to carry concealed handguns. A few states allow law-abiding citizens to carry concealed handguns without permits. These states call it constitutional carry. Some states also allow open carry. But even if your state has issued you a concealed carry permit, you cannot carry your gun throughout the country. Congress should make sure you can. Snyder thinks Congress should enable you to carry your gun legally throughout the country if you have a state-issued CCW permit. Congress should authorize national reciprocity in this regard. After all, if you have a state-issued driver's permit, you can drive a car throughout the United States. Snyder noted that according to a recent survey conducted by the National Association of Chiefs of Police, over three-quarters of American sheriffs and chiefs of police general recognition of CCW permits should facilitate the violent crime fighting potential of the professional law enforcement community. It's time for Congress to get with us, says Snyder. It's time for Congress to close the gaping hole in your rights to self-defense. Couldn't agree more. Because of the licensing, such as a marriage license or a driver's license, which is recognized everywhere else in the country. Calling in to weigh on this, we have James from Missouri. James, welcome to 2A Radio.
Hello.
Hey, James Howard. Just want to let you know we have about a minute and a half before we go to break.
Well, I just wanted to bring up, I live in Missouri. We're an open carry state. That means you have a right to carry. And you talk to the police around here, and they tell you, oh, I would not advise that.
Well, of course, every cop is going to do that. Every cop will do that. I live in an open carry state, Nevada. However, I live in a smaller town where it's okay. I carry in the bank, no big deal. But if you go into Las Vegas Metro will say, oh, it's not advisable.
That doesn't make any sense. It's like, it's some of that doublespeak that they're famous for. Like, you can do it, but if you do it, we're going to get on to you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to throw you in jail. We're going to harass you. You know, the concealed carry permit, I mean, bad guys are going to hide their guns anyway.
Yes, they are.
You know, it gives a person an opportunity to see that you're carrying a pistol, but I wouldn't rob somebody if I saw him carrying a sidearm. Try and get a jump on him.
That's exactly my point that I've talked about on the show so many times, James, is I don't tend to carry concealed. I tend to carry open because I can in this state. And generally, right. The other states that I go to are the same way. If somebody sees me packing and would otherwise think, oh, you know, maybe I'll get that guy and take his car, try to lift his wallet or something. Oh, wait, he's packing. They're going to move on. There's no way they're going after me. And the anti-gunners would say, oh, well, they'll try and rob you so they can get your gun, too. Nobody's that dumb.
Nobody's that dumb. You're absolutely right. Nobody's that spun out, that stupid. I mean, and if they are that spun out, then they're probably asking for the trouble.
Hear you, James. James, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, man. We're going into break now.
You got it.
Guys, stay tuned. We'll be back right after the break.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not when you belong.
Hi guys, welcome back. I have to tell you that when we start getting Congress involved in anything, we are sure to get all kinds of, compromise and a big screwing. However, the idea to get Congress to say that you need to recognize state CCWs as you would any other license, be it a driver's license or a marriage license or anything such as that, instead they're looking at us more of a license to practice medicine or something where you have to go by the state. You still have the training, but the state says, okay, well, you got to have a little bit different. In order to do that, you know, even driver's license tests, written and driving, are a little different throughout the country, but they're all pretty damn similar. If you can pass the test in Hawaii, you can probably pass the test in Vermont. You know what I mean? When it comes to driving. Rules of the road are pretty common. If we're able to get it to where the concealed weapons... Now, you know what? I should really back off because this statement's about to be compromised itself, and I shouldn't do that. What we should do is go to constitutional carry, just as Arizona did, as Alaska has done, and as Vermont has done. Constitutional carry. We shouldn't have to be required to have a permit. And I guess that what we're looking at here is we're looking at if we happen to end up with a CCW thing where we have to have states recognize the CCW that we're carrying. That's compromise. We shouldn't do that. So I apologize. Here I am talking about how we have to get away from compromise, and I just about brought it up. You know what? Forget about all that. I can appreciate John M. Schneider's piece that I just read towards the end of the last segment about Congress recognizing all the other permits. However, that's a band-aid to a real fix. And the real fix is just packing. If you are otherwise legally allowed to carry a handgun because you don't have any felony convictions or any domestic violence convictions or any sort of problems with mental stability or substance abuse, or you're on some really heavy medications, take those things out. If you don't fall into that trap, then you can pack, open or concealed. It makes no difference, just plain pack. And I got to tell you, violent crime and property crime would drop through the basement in this country if people knew everybody had guns. You take several bad guys, they're going to start committing some sort of violent felony, and they end up getting shot, and their buddies hear about it. I got to tell you, the problem that we see with migrant workers from other countries, illegals, filling gaps that other people in this country wouldn't have, are going to go right out the window because former criminals are going to reform and start taking those jobs. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will Your Freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.